Please turn with me now to the Word of God in Leviticus 16. We'll read through verse 22 of Leviticus 16. The sermon text this morning is verses 7 through 10, along with verses 20 through 22. Leviticus 16. The Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall no man in the tabernacle of the there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. That's as far as we read God's word this morning. Connection with those verses from Leviticus 16. My dear fellow believers, I want to tell you the story of the scapegoat and the story of how that was fulfilled in Christ, and the story of how that Old Testament picture fulfilled in Christ changed the whole story. So the theme this morning, very simple, the scapegoat. Going to say a few things about what was happening there in Leviticus 16 with that scapegoat. We're going to talk about Christ as the fulfillment of that wonderful picture. And finally, going to look too at how the story changed through the coming of Christ and his fulfillment of that Old Testament picture, and what that means for us. The scapegoat was one of the features of the Old Testament Day of Atonement, celebrated in what would be for us the autumn of the year, October or thereabout. And that Day of Atonement was one of the most important days in Israel's religious life. I think you get a hint of that in what we read in Leviticus 16. It was a day of reconciliation, a day of atonement, a day of sacrifice, and in some ways, the most important day of all in Israel's religious life, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. And at the center of all that went on that day was the business described here in Leviticus 16 of those two goats. One was offered as a sacrifice to God, and the other, chosen by lot, was the scapegoat. And toward the end of the day, as the different activities of the day were finished, at the end of the day, a man was appointed to take that goat still alive, and to take it away into the wilderness. But before he did that, Aaron, the priest, laid his hands on the head of that goat. First prayed over that goat about the people's sins, but then laid his hands on the head of the goat. And by doing that, as the Word of God says in Leviticus 16, verse 21, put all the transgressions and sins of Israel on the head of that goat. And it was then that the goat was taken away into the wilderness, never to be seen again, to be abandoned there with the sins of God's people on its head. I'm absolutely certain that all of you, even the children, have a pretty good idea of the fact that that was all about Christ and his work as our Savior. The goat that was offered for a sacrifice was obviously a picture of Christ crucified. And when that the blood of that goat was sprinkled on the mercy seat, the covering of the ark, then that too pictured Christ bringing his blood, coming himself as the crucified one, ascended into the presence of God. But the scapegoat was also a picture of Christ. It's one of the things that you often see in the Old Testament, that it takes more than one thing, even to make a picture of Christ and of his saving work. In this case, two goats. But that scapegoat in the Old Testament was Christ. Not literally, of course, but Christ promised. Christ in pictures. Christ, nevertheless, as the Savior and Redeemer of God's people, the only one who could, remember those words, who could take away the sins of God's people. That's what this story of the scapegoat was all about. The goat itself a picture of Christ. Christ chosen by God himself to be the scapegoat, just as that goat itself was chosen by Lot. Christ bearing the sins of God's people, your sins and mine, and taking them away into the wilderness where they would never, ever be seen again and never marked against us. Wonderful picture, isn't it? When the priest prayed over the head of that goat, then that, and put his hands on the head of that goat, then that was a picture of what Martin Luther called the great exchange. Our sins transferred to Christ. And then, too, of course, exchanged for his righteousness. The great miracle of redemption. An exchange the like of which the world has never seen. Our sins for his righteousness. And then, of course, when that goat was led away into the wilderness and left there to die, that was a picture of what Christ's death accomplishes for us in taking away our sins so really and truly that they are gone from us. That's the reality, the fulfillment of that Old Testament scapegoat. Christ being led away as that goat was led away into the wilderness and desolation of God's judgment and wrath, and perishing there as a sacrifice for our sins. So the story to which I referred at the beginning of the sermon, the story as it was told in the Old Testament went something like this. Perhaps on that day of atonement, a child, son or daughter, would ask, "Father, what is this all about?" And the father would tell them the story of the scapegoat as they had it in the Old Testament, and would say something along these lines, "My son, my daughter, that goat is a picture of a better scapegoat whom God has promised and who is going to come one of these days and do for us what you saw today. He's going to take all our sins, your sins and mine and the sins of the nation. He's going to take them all as his own, and he's going to take them away. But my dear son, my dear daughter, we have to do this all over again next year. This was only a goat. Picture, but only a goat. And a goat can't take away our sins. And so, next year, we're going to have to do it again. But there's a better scapegoat. God's promised him there's a better scapegoat coming. And when he comes, then we won't have this great day of atonement anymore. It'll all be done. And we'll never have to send another goat into the wilderness with our sins on his head. It'll all be finished. And that, of course, is the story as we learn it from the Word of God. Christ has come. That scapegoat, That's what the word means, you know. We use that even in everyday language. To describe someone who's getting all the blame, even for something he didn't do. He's a scapegoat, we say. And that's the story. Christ came, made your sins and my sins his own. Paul says that. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Took our sins upon himself and went into that wilderness of God's wrath and judgment to die there. And that means that if you were telling that story as an Old Testament father perhaps told it to his children, it would go something like this. We sent the scapegoat into the wilderness once again. Sent him with all of our sins on his head. And we heard out of that wilderness a horrible cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we heard too that the scapegoat, like all those others, had died there in the wilderness. But then, that's where the story changes. The most amazing thing you can imagine happened. The scapegoat came back. A few days later, he came back without our sin. Imagine that. Nothing like that ever happened before in Israel's history. But he came back out of the wilderness, and all those sins that had been transferred to him were gone. And he told us it was the best news we ever heard. He told us that we would never, never see those sins again. That's how the story changed when Christ fulfilled it. The scapegoat bearing your sins and mine came back without them. And there would be a little more to the story, too. And that's where I'm going to leave you this morning as we go on to the Lord's table. It's a little more to the story. You would tell your son or your daughter, he's gone away again. But he promised he would come back. And he's never broken a promise to us, so we're sure he's coming back. But before he went away, he left us a feast. And he said, when you eat and drink what I've left for you, then that will remind you of what happened in the wilderness. So do this in remembrance of me. And it will remind you of the fact that I've promised to come again. And when I come again, then as I told you when I made that feast, I will eat and drink with you anew in the kingdom of God. So eat and drink in hope of my coming and in hope of that great wedding feast of which you will be part when I come again. That is what you have in front of you this morning, beloved. That supper, promise of a better supper that the scapegoat prepared for us when he came back from the wilderness and then went on to heaven to prepare a place for us there. And I trust that that will help you to come in faith to him this morning. God grant it. Let's turn together to the form for the administration.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.